has, and this is with any New York sports team, they have, like, pizza specials after the game. So, like, if they win, it's, like, half off. It's
what
ridiculous.
What have I been doing with my life?
Also, I heard that 18 inches of pizza is always going to be more than 212 inches of pizza.
The mass of it.
Like, you're going to get more on an 18-inch than 212.
Oh, whoa. That is good to know.
I don't know if that was deep dish. I don't understand it either, but I, you know, when you read something on Instagram, when you read something on Tasty, you believe it because it's tasty.
It's true.
That is very, very true.
Wait, I gotta figure this out right now.
Okay. Is it because the box 12 inches and then the pizza itself probably is in the 12-inch box?
Yeah.
And so then maybe an 18-inch pizza, maybe, okay, so maybe an 18-inch pizza is like a large, and maybe the large and extra large are in the same box.
Maybe.
So maybe.
I bet that's it.
The 12-inch pizza is smaller, actually.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying?
We have, like, a cork board of just conspiracy. Okay, so the box is here. And
yeah,
then,
you guys don't see this right now.
Okay, so there are two shooters from JFK,
and that equals
two 12-inch pizzas.
We've been working on this for weeks.
Weeks, months,
years,
decades.
My heart gets a little gay, like bubbles in the wine. Every time I dance with you, your arms take me far away, like bubbles in the wine, just as if we had a few. Oh, maybe it's that moon, or maybe it's that tune, playing as we gently sway. Oh, maybe it's the fact that I love you. Can't really say how I got this way. My heart whispers a refrain.
Welcome to Tannins and Tunes. I'm Jessica.
I'm Jimmy. Hi, friends. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Hope you all are having a great week. We are here in New York City. Jimmy, how was your week?
Very good. Very good. I am doing a sober October.
Oh, Jimmy.
I'm not.
How are we going to do this podcast?
I'm still going to do this podcast.
Great. I'm glad that you didn't warn me about this beforehand.
Oh, I'm still going to drink the wine.
Great. It's work. It's research.
It's work. Yeah.
I mean, this is your job now. I do not pay you a cent.
Mm-mm.
But we're going to get all those sponsors.
We're going to get so many sponsors.
HelloFresh.
Guys, HelloFresh.
Casper,
ready. Honestly, like, any mom-centric sponsors want to hit at us, like, please.
We are ready. Cool. Well.
How was yours?
Glad you had a great week, but you're not going to ask me about mine.
How was yours? I just did.
It was good. It was good. This is off to a great start. You know, when you finally, like, settle in to your fall, and you're like, I know my schedule now.
I don't, because it's still summer here in the city.
Well, it is very warm, yes. It is very, very warm. But I just feel like this week I finally, like, got into it, you know? Like, I knew where I was going all the time, and I didn't forget my work schedule too many times.
Right.
So, first of all, I just want to thank everybody for coming out to the live show.
The live show. Woo! Thank you so much.
We had such a great time. Our guests are already my favorites.
Yeah.
We had a great time. BD Wong had a great time. It was a blast.
We are all friends now. Everyone's friends. We're all getting apartments together. So if you saw the live show, just know that you're going to be on the lease with BD Wong.
Get ready.
Get ready.
We're
all picking out fabrics at IKEA soon.
We're ready. One of the things that I wanted to point out before we introduced our guests is to remind everybody about our review challenge.
Review challenge.
That's going on. So if you don't remember, we are doing reviews on iTunes that everybody who leaves a review, we're matching $1 with your review and donating that to places that are helping out with hurricane victims from Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma and Hurricane Maria, and expanding that to the Las Vegas shooting and places that are helping out those victims and victims' families and survivors. Because we think it's really important to be giving back right now, and really excited that we have a platform where we're able to do that. So help us help other people. So get your reviews in.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay, you guys. This is it. Enough small talk.
All right.
Here we go.
We've bantered long enough. Now we want to hear from the pros.
So you guys, We have another podcast here with us today.
This is a crossover special.
Crossover episode. This is amazing.
This is DC and Marvel together. Superman and Captain America. Batman and Iron Man. Wonder Woman and Captain Marvel. I did it. I remembered six characters.
And for me, it's like Broadway. And more Broadway! Yay!
Yay!
So you guys, we have the podcast here called Equity One Podcast, and they are incredible and so funny, and I've been listening to them for weeks now, and they are awesome.
They're amazing. If you haven't already, stop this and subscribe to theirs and start listening to theirs.
Go do it right now. Like, stop listening. Stop listening right now, moms. Go listen to their podcast and then come back.
It's so good.
So today we have the hosts of that podcast, Elliot Maddox and Caleb Dickey.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
We're from Blue Apron. We really want to sponsor you.
I wish.
Oh, then we just talked about HelloFresh, your competitor.
Ew.
Oh.
So HelloFresh, yeah, gotta give them a better offer.
But we showed up. You know, came to this studio.
That's so true.
Awesome. Well, okay, so you guys, tell us and our listeners a little bit about your backstory and your podcast and how this all came to be.
Sure.
It's a long story.
It is a long story.
But we
so
can,
buckle
like,
up.
Give what some we? Cliff notes.
We're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Right?
We aren't doing anything.
Caleb, you start.
Well, back in the day, Elliot and I met at a dance competition way back in the day.
As teenagers.
And we're gonna skip a lot of the exposition.
Can I just ask which dance competition?
It was IDC.
IDC, I couldn't remember.
International Dance Challenge in Dayton, Ohio. And we just kind of kept in touch, talked about auditions, and we ended up going to college together at Oklahoma City University.
Yes.
The stars. We'll teach you how to do the stars thing.
We will. We'll take a photo off camera.
Great.
It's confusing.
But, yeah, we lived together all 4 years in college. We're still best friends.
Mm-hmm. We moved here to the city. And then we just have, you know, we have a whole bunch of banter back and forth. And then Elliot's boyfriend was like, you guys need to do something with that.
Mm-hmm. And we talked about doing something like many a web episode and like all the stuff that
you
just
know,
never came
creative.
To fruition.
We all have.
And so we were kind of talking about it. I was really into podcasts at the time, and Kayla's boyfriend came up with the name, and I was like, wait, we are doing this. So we just, like, bought a microphone and started. And we were like, well,
you're like,
we
don't
no
know what we're doing at all.
What we're doing, but
nope.
We're going to figure it out and just start and see what people think and go from there. And
it's actually been so fun. Like, I don't know if you went, like, meeting a new person each week and just sitting down and talking.
Yeah.
It's so fun. And I'm learning so much, and then, like, getting feedback from people who are like, I listened to your last episode, and I love, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
exactly.
Yeah, it's been really, it's really exciting, and I mean, I'm sure you guys feel this way, too. Like, you put something out there, and you have no idea, and even with podcasts, like, it's really difficult to tell
who is listening. Yeah.
Right.
And then you hear from all kinds of people, like, I love your podcast, like, I'm having so much fun with you guys, like, and that's been really fun. It's brought us a lot of joy. It's like been something fun and creative for us to do together. Because we did summer stock together like a few times, but like we never get to do anything together. So like get to make something with your best friend.
And
it's hard to see.
It's so hard to see your best friend sometimes in the city.
Yes.
Like you're like we live in the same city, but like show schedules, work schedules, everything is so hard.
Right.
So now we're like, we're doing this, we're finding time.
Yeah, we at least get together to record the podcast.
Yep.
And then we talk about it.
Yeah.
I not to like plug my own podcast, but I do a podcast with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a lot of fun to do it because then I weekly get to talk to my mom.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
And any other time it would just be like, oh, I'm too busy or like, you know, our schedule, but we always find time because of the podcast to chat.
Yeah. And that's kind of how, we came up with like the format and the feel and even the name of the podcast because, you know, you have your drink between shows. And a lot of times you use it to catch up with people, to see people you haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, that's the whole idea of the podcast.
Love it.
Catching up with people.
Now, we got to talk about the name because it's Equity One.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that it was an Equity Two.
Oh.
Well, I was listening to some of your episodes earlier in the week, and we have the same philosophy
about drinks, which is if your drink isn't empty, it's still one
exactly.
drink. So if you refill, we've said this multiple times on our podcast, and so yeah. it made me very yes. happy to hear it on yours.
That we're on the same track.
That if you fill it up before it's over, it's still an equity one.
Oh, speaking yeah. of that, when I was back in California, I went to that sushi place
yeah.
with the never-ending
yes.
sake.
Yes.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Wait, no, okay, so I like temp at Japan Society, which is uh-huh. the Japanese embassy, and we had a sake event, and actually, warm hot sake, it's actually like the cheaper kind, so like they kind of like oh. brings out the flavor more, so you can't Ooh. Tell. No, it
brings out.
If you want to be classy, drink cold sake, oh. even though I love hot sake.
I love hot sake.
I love hot sake, but it's right. for, it's the
That's
lower
really good
brand.
To know.
It's like it's like classy. The McCormick's, it's like the bottom shelf of liquor.
The yeah.
Okay.
The ones that where you're like, the bottom shelf, it's down there, but it's like the most grabbed for. There's so right. no one yeah. down there because people easy. Always. Yeah.
If you want to get really drunk, like microwave your sake.
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
That's like cheap
gross.
Cheap sake. If you want expensive sake, make sure you get cold sake.
Oh, hey, girl.
Like the one with California and your never ending sake because I love sake.
I love it. I love it. Well, we are huge fans of yours, and so we're so excited
Thank
that
you.
You're here.
Thank you.
And I was. Also really excited when you said that you wanted to talk about our show.
Yes!
Chaplin!
Yes!
Bum, bum. Bro.
Bum.
I literally, I feel like I was the only person listening to it, and I literally listened to it like 2 weeks ago. So when you it said that, I was like, yes, I'm not alone in the world!
Listeners, just so you know, I mean, this is an audio podcast, but as you know, we're going to do this whole podcast in black and white.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? Until
the very end.
Until the very end. All going to be color.
We do have some red accents. We have like yeah. the red wine.
Right.
Yes. Well, so I have a personal connection with it just because I like... specifically remember going to go see Chaplin, and then I yeah. specifically remember when it closed and me being like, what? This yes. is the best show. How can this happen?
Exactly.
So tell me a little bit about your connection to Chaplin.
Sure. So we, Caleb and I were like, we planned this trip. So basically we planned a trip on our like winter vacation from school to, I wanted to come up and see War Horse before it closed.
Right. right.
So oh, right. we, yeah. so that was the purpose of the trip. But meanwhile, we saw like six shows while we were
of
here.
Course.
Like we just wanted to see as many as we could.
It was over New Year's.
It was over New Year's. And so
what
we,
is it? 12 to 13?
Yes.
I have
yeah,
no
that's
idea.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds right.
It was like, so we saw Drood, mm-hmm. we saw the closing performance of Bring It On, which I also know you guys love, and
we wanted to talk about that.
Bring
we
It On.
Yes!
Like,
yes.
we mentioned it when you asked us, and I was like, they already did a Bring It On episode.
We did. Because I didn't want to talk about Hamilton, basically.
Bring It On.
Bring It On.
But
I have one of the pom-poms. I was up in the front row, and I think it was
Ariana.
Yeah, Ariana, who gave it to me. I didn't know her at the
That's
time.
That's amazing.
I still have it.
Yes. So we saw closing of Bring It
wow.
On, because we were obsessed.
Yeah.
It was my second time seeing it. And then we also saw Peter and the Starcatcher,
and then we saw
War Horse.
That was a very good.
I was actually looking up that season today. It was a really
such
interesting.
A great, all these amazing shows, and it's written off as not a great season.
Well, because
it really was
a lot of limited runs during
yeah.
that
sure.
time, and so
totally.
A lot of shows happened and closed, mm-hmm. and so you look at that and you're like, oh, a lot of things closed. Like it wasn't a good season. But
yeah, two of the best musical nominees were closed.
Yeah,
yeah.
Way
but
before Tony's.
Limited runs were happening,
yeah.
so we
That's
gotta
such
fill
good
those theaters.
Stuff.
Yeah.
So when we saw Chaplin, and so we were so obsessed with it, and like that is where my like obsession with Rob McClure started.
Yes.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Oh my God.
And like
we love you,
love you, Rob.
Prayer hands.
And, hands.
Well, and I actually got to work with Rob that following summer
nice.
At the Muni.
Yeah.
Oh. And I was like,
what did it close?
like our closing night, I like showed him the Instagram post.
And I worked with Aaron Mackey that following summer too. And I was like,
oh,
I was
fun.
Obsessed with it as well.
Like we love it. And a lot of people have the Chaplin tattoos that
yeah.
were in it. They
oh,
have the
cool.
little bowler hats on their wrists.
Oh wow.
And so like, we're also obsessed with that. So like, anytime I see anyone in Chaplin, I'm like, did you get the tattoo? Like, I just like love it so much. But we saw it, and it was just, like, so special.
Yeah.
I remember I was, like, fifth row center, mm-hmm. and just looking at the video at the beginning when he's just standing there and he's like so like twitching yes. the mustache and you're mm-hmm. like, whoa.
Yep.
It was so good. And it was really like, and it was like a fun trip for us because a lot of memories, like we took a Greyhound up. We had like a system of like one of us would get the luggage and the other.
Like halfway
would get
through
Pennsylvania,
we like it was a met mess. In Cincinnati uh-huh. and we went from Ohio to New York. Uh-huh. It was a 17-hour trip?
Yeah, it was a lot.
And, like, when we got to, like, middle Pennsylvania, we're like, yeah. okay, we had to make a transfer. You grab the bags. I'll run to the next bus.
I'll get the seat because yeah. you don't get seats
right.
together.
Yeah.
So it was like, a fun trip, and it holds a lot of good memories for me, like, in our friendship. Yeah. But also that show was just so special.
It really is. It's I think, special for anybody who had the chance to see it. I know for me it started my obsession with Jen Colella.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. How could we forget?
Like, that's literally where it started of me being like, I want her career.
She was everything in that show.
I want to talented Mr. Ripley, Jen Colella, even to the point of taking her body.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if I could. So for our listeners who might not be as familiar as we are with Chaplin.
With Charlie Chaplin is a silent movie star.
Okay.
He was like in black and white movies.
And if you don't know what a black and white movie is. So this musical is written by Christopher Curtis, yes. who really hasn't done much else of commercial fame.
Sure.
I am sure that he is working on lots of projects, and that is great for you, Christopher Curtis. You should keep on living your dream. But maybe not something that's been, like, as successful. But that's okay. And the book was also written by Thomas Meehan. Mm-hmm. Which is awesome news of any fame.
Directed by Warren Carlyle,
yeah,
right? Or
yeah.
did he choreograph it?
He choreographed it for sure.
Directed, yeah, I know directed he directed and choreographed by him.
Great,
yeah.
Amazing.
That's what I thought,
yeah, which is great. And
I remember watching it and seeing like there were so many Shanae's. We were just like obsessed with how many.
So many.
So before like 1920 something, this girl did a little double attitude flick, and I remember it. I have it written down in my journal for a choreographer.
So there were so many Shanae's. Anyway,
continue. Oh no! I mean. It's one of those shows that I don't think got a lot of fame because of its creative team, where you're like,
sure,
I don't know who you are necessarily, so it's not like it was like Frank Wildhorn coming out and being like,
sure,
I have a
right.
new show.
Well, yeah, I think that there wasn't some one person to hold on to because while Rob McClure is Rob McClure now,
no,
he wasn't.
That
they
were
saying, yeah. No, the I remember the marquee being like introducing Rob McClure.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
I remember that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jen Colella too was like it was her star turn.
Well,
a
yeah,
lot of,
I mean she had
Christiane
done,
Noel was probably one of the more
yeah she was
the bigger mm-hmm. names than Michael mm-hmm. McCormick.
Yeah.
I think everybody was really putting their hat, their bowler hat, on yeah. Chaplin itself.
Because
yeah.
it was
on
such
the
a
biopic.
A heart of a show that they're like, we love yeah. it so much, we're hoping so much for it that it's just going to take
well,
off.
Well, and that's, I mean, it came from not the NAMPS Festival, the New York Musical Theater Festival. Like,
yeah.
that's mm-hmm. where it came from. And then La Jolla was like, okay, let's.
And
take
it was Limelight
this.
Then
yeah.
at La Jolla,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was called Limelight. And they were like, okay, let's like take this and see what we can do with it here. And that's where all the scenic elements came from, which I think. The scenic and the costume stuff, like,
gorgeous.
It's amazing. And it's the same guy, Beowulf, who did Come From Away.
Oh, wow,
did,
really?
Yeah.
I didn't
so
know that.
Different.
Yeah. Did the scenic elements for that.
I remember, like...
I love a turntable.
I remember, like, there are so many, like... There are some moments, you know, like in theater when you're like, when you just like get dizzy because like it's a lot happening
yes.
and like
right.
it's really overwhelming, but it's good dizzy. It's
yeah.
like you're in your seat, but you're like, ugh. The end of act one and the lookalike contest mm-hmm, when he like goes up on the thing, on
the
high wire.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then like he lifts off of it and it's like strobe lights and it's really kind
yeah.
of like scary. And then it's like blackout and it's the end of the act. I was like,
right.
I remember being like feeling dizzy.
I will also never forget the night that I saw it. I felt so terrible because Rob McClure comes out and when he like is the little tramp
yeah.
and
he like
yeah.
it comes together like by pieces.
And
yeah.
then he does the pose
from
on
his mom,
on the
yeah.
big
yes.
thing on the bum 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 and he does the pose and the cane didn't stick.
No!
Did it pop?
And it popped out! And so he's moving on the first one. And he finally gets it, like, back in position and, like, does the pose. But I was like, no! This is the pose!
said, I'm done. Play bill.
Oh right. You just walk out. You dump your wine on the ground.
I just felt so bad.
Spillless
wine.
Yes. It happens.
It
Those
does.
Props, man.
It does.
There were a lot in that.
I can tell you a story about props, but that's another story.
I want to talk about, we joked about our, how we're like black and white, but any listeners, moms, the production of it all was in black and white.
So yeah,
everybody
totally
was sort of grayscale,
yeah.
White. There were pieces of it, which was wonderful for me because at first you're going, it's blatantly obvious. And then
obviously, like, on purpose.
Yeah, obvious on purpose, and, like, you can't miss it. But as the play goes on, you get used to it.
Yeah.
You really
right?
do. You
and then it's at the end.
At the awards ceremony.
At the awards ceremony, this flush of color comes.
Red. It's the drapes come in from the, for the awards show, and you're just like,
so
color?
Gorgeous.
What?
Right. And, yeah, so gorgeous. Yeah, you're as if you're first introduced to color ever in your life. Almost like, was it what year in the story? Was it like the 70s?
He died in 78, I think. So
Okay. And it was
right before he died.
So like this in the 70s, it was, especially on television, it's just like the boldest and brightest colors.
Totally.
You know, and that's what it felt like.
And you saw all the other characters in color for the first time, too. So you saw, like, his
really
mom
powerful.
In color, and you were just like, oh.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All the circus number, you see all those girls in their costumes.
Hollywood.
And they were like, they were
another
like.
Another day in Hollywood?
Yeah.
Just another day in Hollywood.
That was success.
That's when we first heard Jen Colella.
Well, and
in the
All
show.
Falls, well, yeah, that, and then she comes out for All Falls Down and just steals, takes the show and puts it in her pot.
I'm gonna paint when you cannot paint the town. I'm gonna wipe the smile from that famous little clown. And what you're gonna do when it all falls down.
There was a... The curtain came down, and they were both in front of it.
Yeah.
And there was the little, like, you know, the little snare.
She, like manipulated bah, him.
She manipulated him, and I was like, this is...
Like, took his cane and shot him.
Yeah.
And then when she's going after him, had a hop, like, if, you know, it follows Charlie Chaplin's life. Mm-hmm. It's not, like, a...
Yeah.
But they had, like, this rivalry, and... When they started like twirling the flag and they were American and then they slowly started turning into the Russian flag, but it was still black and white. Like it was so really
so
well done.
Yeah.
Like,
well, 'cause you could have easily just had a show and not have thought about it, not have thought about the color palette.
Yeah.
And it would have been so fine. But having it in the grayscale like a silent movie, added another texture. Added, I think, a texture of reality versus fantasy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, and it's an epic story, and a lot of those, like black and white movies are big stories,
exactly.
You know? And that's why they were able to be told with no dialogue,
right.
Because they're big stories. And so I think that it really, like, it was just so well thought out what they were doing.
I love a vision. I love a vision. I love an overall vision.
Yeah.
If you don't have a vision and intent, and you don't know what story you're telling... Why are you doing
that
it?
Ain't
and so that's like Charlie Chaplin had a great vision.
Well, and it's interesting to why do you guys think the show didn't go?
I think it was. I mean, like you said, like you have Kinky Boots and you have Matilda going on, like stealing all the limelight because of
Flashy.
Children and the big costumes and the thing. But I think it's what we talked about earlier. There wasn't a star to grab onto.
There wasn't a save for Thomas Meehan. I don't think the creative team was again something to grab onto. And honestly, Charlie Chaplin is a name, but I don't know if it's a name that maybe we think about is in our lexicon as a society even still right now. I think it's sad to say, but he's maybe a niche of a performance.
Yeah, I think too maybe like right now in our current culture and time, there's such like a want for nostalgia.
Right.
I think we kind of talked about this last week. Like, there's a want for nostalgia. Like, we...
Oh, yeah. Like with
everyone's
in the 80s right now.
Everyone's
like,
happy to see Will and Grace come back.
Yes.
Everyone's happy to see these things come back that remind us of different times.
Right.
And I feel like when Chaplin came out, there wasn't, like, a want for nostalgia.
Yeah.
No. Like,
I would agree
you
with
look...
You.
And that's
and
a hard
so,
nostalgia, like,
That's several generations back.
Right.
We want stuff that we remember.
But I don't even think there was that at that time and point.
I think even people want nostalgia for things that like happened 5 years ago.
Yeah,
and it's also a dark story.
It's not a happy story.
But it also didn't go
super dark, and it wasn't super light. So it was like in this middle area that was hard.
It's kind of like the Bonnie and Clyde, how they were like, it wasn't bloody enough, or
you know.
Here is also my thing with biopics in general. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to create an emotional arc because you're kind of just like, and we're here, and we're here, and we're here, and we're here. You're just showing snippets of a person's life.
Yeah.
And that was so what some of the reviews said, too, was like, you would cram 4 parts of his life into a song that were all really important, or you didn't do any of the character development on the other wives.
Right.
And so that was just what some of the reviews were pointing out, or it didn't go into the mental illness of his mom deep enough, and so you don't understand that, and it's not very clear that that's where some of his insecurities came from.
Mm-hmm.
You're just seeing somebody that was like a cool, normal guy in Act 1 and then kind of turns into an asshole in Act 2. You're like, where did this come from? Yeah. Why are you? Yeah.
With you.
We have been too long without wine.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, I have been 7 days.
So we have a really cool wine today, you guys.
So
this is the Diemersdal Estate. Yeah.
Cheers.
Did it now clink.
Okay, so everybody smell this.
Oh.
Okay.
This is the Diemersdal Estate Pinotage, the 2015 vintage. What are some things that you're getting?
Like a black fruit, like
It does have some black fruits on it. Yeah, totally.
Is there a hint of smoky, or is that just
I
want?
It's totally in there. There's totally smoky.
That's just what I want. I just want smoky. I think I realized I want smoky everything. I think even my coffee, I was like, oh, I want this to be like smoky. Yeah. You know?
Do you like bourbon?
I do like bourbon.
See, okay. I'm a bourbon boy, and this is smelling kind of like giving me like a scotch a little.
Yeah. Well, it does have that smoky quality because of like the vanilla in there and even a little bit of like chocolate. But like spices, there are like exotic spices in there.
Exactly. Yeah. Are there baking spices?
There are no baking spices in this one.
This would be I used to work at a tea shop, and when I did, I would always take the mulling spices and mull wines.
Yeah.
So I think this would be good mold, probably.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely. Is that? Yeah. So this is, it's a Pinotage.
Jessica, Jessica is the gatekeeper of wine.
Say any of them.
Say it and I will knock you down.
And I'll be like, you are wrong.
Tell me wrong.
Please, tell me wrong the right way.
Sorry, mom.
Oh, I bet this is their favorite part.
50 Shades of Red.
Because it's a red wine, guys.
It's a red wine. Which I was hoping you would pick a red just because of like the introduction of red, obviously, at the end of the show.
And I honestly, when I was picking a wine, I was like, I want to do something that's fruit forward because it really is a fun show.
Yeah.
It really, really is. But also is dark enough to get that in there, to get the like black and white and the darkness that's within the show. And so I wanted something that was smokier but still fruit forward. And I call Pinotage the barbecue of wines.
What?
Yeah. Oh. Okay, let's taste it. Let's taste it.
Oh, okay. Yay. Here we go.
Oh my god, that's delicious.
Yeah.
Okay, I literally mentioned in like our back and forth that I'm like the kind of person that puts ice cubes in my red wine. Like, like I just like am not like a wine person, but this is really good.
It's really smooth. It's
super smooth.
And it goes down warm. Yeah. I'm feeling it like down my esophagus.
I feel it, everything. I'm more connected with my whole body now.
It's a pretty high alcohol content.
Do they
call
that like in when you have bourbon and that warm that you get, we call that a Kentucky hug. So would this be
a South African
hug? South African hug. South African hug.
for my wine nerds out there, I'm going to give you the bullet points. Here we go.
Yeah, for Teresa and Jake, all of our new friends.
And
Jake,
this is for my mother, because she's like, and you mom? Don't talk about wine. Mm-hmm.
Yes, please talk about wine and be as technical as possible.
Okay, right. I love the honey dear, love the podcast with you and Jimmy. I would just love if Jimmy spoke less.
And so we have a wine that's medium purple in color, really high intensity, which is what we were talking about with the alcohol content.
I can barely see through it.
Yeah. Well, if you held it over a white piece of paper, like maybe something like white, if you see anything,
interesting.
You can see the color a little bit more clearly. Jammy, warm red fruit, which we were talking about, like strawberries and cherries. Mm-hmm. Blackberry is in there. Some coffee, earthiness to it, plum, chocolate aromas are in there also. And when we're talking about tannins, this one is really, really soft on the tannins, what we're talking about with that, like, velvety smoothness to it. And then here's something that is real technical. So here we go. Grapes were harvested at optimum ripeness and then done in open fermenters for 5 to 7 days, punch through every 4 hours, MLF, which is malolactic fermentation.
When they
punch it,
When they punch, do they also just like tell degrading comments? Just like,
yeah, they're mean.
You're not enough.
Or is it like punching with your feet?
You're not that great.
You're not.
I love that you hang out
mean
with
girls,
a bunch
coming
of
Alex Wilson.
March, whatever.
Third. So many things are coming out.
Very exciting.
SpongeBob next month.
I can't wait.
November 5th. November something.
It's so soon, you guys. It's really
also, gotta get him.
So we're really jumping off topic. I saw 1984 last night, and it's closing tonight.
Oh, I didn't realize it was closing.
Yeah, the limited
those
engagement.
Limited engagements. That's what I was saying. Limited engagements.
I didn't
engagement.
Know either. I missed it.
Well, me too.
That's okay. I don't want to vomit.
You know what
anyway.
Was most intense about it? People drinking open
champagne glasses. And they didn't give me ice. Why can't you give ice at theaters?
No, some people can. So at a Jamson theater, it depends on the theater and it depends on the producer.
Okay.
So more often than not, people can. There's ice. Drew Jamson houses, they have like little tiny baby ice.
Shaved ice, yeah.
Yeah, so that you can enjoy it,
thanks,
but it doesn't
Jordan.
Make a lot of noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scott Rudin is the reason why you can't have.
Because it's noisy?
Because he doesn't like any noise.
Okay.
Yeah,
which my Manhattan was kind of warm, but I was like, okay, like. Okay,
punched every 4 hours.
Wine.
Every 4 hours.
Also, I love you, Scott Rudin. If you want to cast
right,
me,
right. We're ready.
Hi.
If you want to cast me, then I hate ice.
We are not sponsored by ice.
We're not sponsored by Scott Rudin.
Right? We want all of these sponsors. So
yeah, all the sponsors. Thank you.
It's more than frozen water. Scott Rudin,
the water
it's
lobby.
More than a frozen guy.
Come on, Frozen.
Frozen. Opening.
Coming to the St. James.
Oh, crazy.
Okay.
Malolactic fermentation.
Okay.
Happens. Ooh. 100%.
We're going to talk about
it. And
all
then
this.
It's done in 30% new French oak barrels.
Okay.
So that's all the specs. There you go. You know all the things. Diemerstal, which is in South Africa, near Durbanville. So that's all the things. Unless we want to talk about how Pinotage is Pinot Noir and then Hermitage together. And that's
what's the second
living
one?
Life spectacular.
Hermitage?
Yeah.
It's a Sem-Salt grape that's done in the south of France. And and they call it Hermitage. Yes.
Okay.
I'm
learning so much right now, guys, because this is the first time in my Tannins and Tunes history that I realize that the wine is named after the grape that it's used. Yeah.
Yep.
There it is.
So Pinot Noir is based off of a Pinot Noir grape.
Yes.
What?
Jimmy's mind is blown.
Work.
Like,
do they make
any
wines? You know those like
double
cotton
shooters.
Candy grapes?
Right? I don't know. I don't know if that'd be good.
For a while,
I don't think that'd be very good. Well, because even like Concord
grape.
The city?
What do you thought it was?
Yeah.
Rosé was red
wine.
And white. together.
And it's...
Is there a rose?
Like Welch's.
That's Manischewitz.
Oh.
Well, okay. It's Concord grapes that are turned into wine. Yeah.
And you say it's not... It's
well,
not
it's two different species of wine. So you have Venus vinifera.
It's like
Venus
vinifera.
Venus vinifera. I can't
it's
say it right
it's
now.
It's like okay. Or something.
Oh, okay. And yeah, you have a like whole different species of grape.
Wow.
It's like jelly jam grapes versus wine grapes.
She knows way too much for a girl.
I'm also obsessed that we were fully having two
sips.
I know.
Like,
good luck listening to that. That's gonna be so. Just put it in.
It's if gonna be. It's
have
gonna
people
be
rewind. Rewind. Go back. 15 seconds, three times.
You guys, is it just me? Are you guys feeling a fruity, smoky finish?
So the finish, I feel like I do, and I feel like that's why maybe I enjoy this wine mm-hmm. more than I do most reds, is because I feel like most reds, I'm always like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I have to, like...
Like, to...
Clear my... I have to, like, peanut butter clean my mouth
the
after.
Tannins. If the tannins are too strong.
So, like, this is great. If it's, like, it's light for me, for a red.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh,
a drink...
Yeah.
To me, I would call this a drinkable red.
It's a drinkable red! It is! Or an approachable red.
Oh,
okay. I love
like
approachable.
It's, like, it's really friendly.
Really friendly. Really
at the bar.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's, like, right at the bar.
I'm not naming any names.
Yeah, we got off topic.
We really
do that.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
We do as well. But I do want to get to our game.
Let's do vocabulous, just perfect. Because we just talked
it.
All,
yeah.
the
all the
technical
wine.
Terms, and so yeah. I want to, like, talk about vocabulous. So this is this week's rapid-fire vocabulous.
Okay. First, will you prime us on the rules of the game?
Sure.
Oh, it's not a game.
So it's not a game. It's just a segment. It's like, it's...
Because we had moms in the Midwest who were like...
What is equity?
What is your inside joke? Right. Like, what is this?
And so we were like,
equity
okay.
is an inside joke. Yeah. So we're like, oh, we'll break it down.
Let's do a segment where we, like, explain some of the, what have
I
we said about, like, so that people can understand what we're talking about.
Great.
So for this vocabulary, since I know literally nothing about wine, we're going to do a special quiz.
Yes.
Jessica.
What do they say? Please explain. It's vocabulous, baby.
And here we go. What's MLF?
MLF is malolactic fermentation. And it's basically where the malic acid, or the lactic acid in the wine is turned into malic acid, which is softer than lactic acid.
Okay.
You know, the lactic acid, like, is...
Like in your mind muscles.
Yeah. Well, it's in wine, too. And so it's converted with, not with a yeast, but with, like, a... Like a special thing that they throw in there.
Sure.
That converts it. And most red wines go through malolactic fermentation, and some white wines do, like Chardonnay, which is why Chardonnay tastes like that butteriness
to
it.
Yes. Oh, I love Chardonnay.
And that's from the malolactic fermentation. And we have that in all red wines, and especially red wines that are aged on oak barrels.
Work. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. What punchdown? What's
punchdown,
that?
It's basically when the... Like, grapes are first put in to create some wine, and the winemaker comes down and literally, like, stirs up the wine to make sure that it doesn't sit, and, like, all the yeast are not only working on the top layer, but, like,
the
top layer changes, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just stirring it. Stirring it up.
Okay. Also, we have two more. Open fermenter.
Oh, yeah. So, basically, the cases, the tanks or where it's being fermented doesn't have a top on it.
So, oh, kind of like bourbon.
Yeah, very, very similar. Yeah, the, like, air interacts with everything, too.
Okay, cool. And then the
last one,
this is embarrassing,
tannins.
But tannins.
Tannins. So
the fuck is a tannin?
Thank you. You're like,
I've been doing this.
I want to do a show called Tunes. You're like, quick. You're like, Googling right now. You're like,
I know. Tunes and.
Okay, so here we go.
Tell the
people, and the people are me.
It's that peanut butter feeling. That's what a tannin is. It's the skins of the grape that are still present in the wine, and like the stems and the branches and everything that has gotten in with the wine that's been fermented with, all gets taken out, right? Like put through a sifter and all gets taken out. But that feeling is still in it. It's in the wine.
Interesting.
And so when you take a sip of wine and it's the stuff that like rolls around in your mouth. And like gets in the crevices, you know, when you have to do that sticky mouth feeling of like, what's in my mouth?
Yeah.
Those are tannins. And so if it's really present in tannins, you're going to have that peanut butter flavor ish.
Like
sticky feeling.
That peanut butter
sensation.
Exactly.
And then if it's softer tan is like this pinotage, it's going to just evaporate a little bit more quickly.
Yeah.
I like the tannins. I like a gritty wine.
Yeah.
I like,
yeah. And some people like love them, some people hate them, and some people just want them in between. It's great.
I love it.
Yeah.
That was like a really great addition for Cabulous. So Cabulous. I love
it
that.
It wasn't in vain that I got
it. It was so good. We all learned something.
Awesome. Well, we have
Let's
game.
Play your game.
We have a game. And
wait, sorry. Before we start the game, I was listening to the episode with Emily Grace Tucker, who I did Lacage with. And she was awful at the game. I was like, Emily, come on. This is Annie. I knew it before we even got started. Terrible.
Also, is that how we know each other? You look so familiar.
Oh, my God. That is so funny.
I'm going to talented Mr. Ripley.
Oh, my God.
Do what?
Talented Mr. Ripley, take over your life.
Oh.
Great.
Yeah.
Switch. I live.
Freaky Friday.
Okay. Coming to Disney TV.
Now
available for licensing.
Oh, no. Well, actually, this is a great transition because Freaky Friday started at La Jolla Playhouse.
Yes.
In our game today.
What started at La Jolla?
Shit started at La Jolla Playhouse.
Because of Chaplin.
Because of Chaplin. And
I know a few in my Rolodex
is going.
This is
a little backstory on me, is that I used to work at La Jolla Playhouse. So we can make it really hard by just giving you years. And then if no one gets it, I'll go with director. And then if no one gets that, I'll go with description.
Okay.
So this one,
Tony year.
I will give you a La Jolla Playhouse year and a Broadway year.
Okay, great.
Shoot,
thank you.
So this is just because you all are so good at it.
I'm so sorry, moms. I'm already gonna.
So this show premiered at La Jolla Playhouse in 2004 and Broadway in 2005. Directed by Des Makanoff. This is a show about four men. I think Ellie got it first.
Four men. Glory Days?
Nope.
Jersey Boys.
Yeah. Damn it. My boyfriend is going to be so mad I missed that.
Uh-oh.
Okay, this one.
Okay, one for Caleb.
Okay, next. I don't have a Broadway year on this one. So it premiered at La Jolla in 1984.
Oh, shoot.
Also directed by Des Makanoff. Based on Huck Finn.
Big River. You didn't even ask him who it was.
That's true. But only because I know that this might be the only one Jimmy gets. He can have it. He can have it. Okay. So this one premiered at La Jolla in 1999. Went on Broadway in 2000. I'll give you music and lyrics on this one. Music by... Where is the music? Hold on. Sorry. Lyrics by Paul Gordon. Book by John Caird. Music by Paul Gordon. Has a character named Mr. Edward Rochester.
2000?
Based on the novel by Charlotte Bronte? Yep.
Ragtime?
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
Jane Eyre?
Yeah!
Wow. I would have never gotten that.
Really phenomenal work.
If I was better on my books, I would have known the author.
It was the book.
Yeah. 2000, because I was thinking, like, that was Contact. So, like, what else was that?
Wait, was Ragtime 99 or was it 98?
Ragtime was 99.
Okay,
same year as Lion King.
Okay, here we go.
Ugh, I'm so bad at this. I'm really
embarrassed. You're going to get this next one. La Jolla Playhouse, 2001. Broadway, 2004. I'm going to give you music and lyrics.
Okay.
Music by Frank Wildhorn. Lyrics by Don Black and Christopher Hampton. Yep.
Buzz.
Yep.
Tale of Two Cities.
Nope. Fuck
me.
No, wait, keep going. Okay, so now you're out.
So it's about a vampire count and the...
Damn it!
You go first.
I'm leaving.
No, she picked you.
Is it Lestat?
Nope.
Oh.
Dance of the Vampires?
You're out.
Dracula? I don't know.
Anybody?
Is it Dracula?
Yes.
It's Dracula, the Kelly O'Hara Dracula.
But Kelly O'Hara wasn't in it at La Jolla, but then
right,
she was in it.
Mom,
on Broadway.
Mom, I am really bad. Damn
illuminating.
Like, even, can I get a refill before we get this next question?
We even talked about this on our podcast with Brian Harris.
Well, and even...
Oh, no, we talked about Lestat, though.
We talked about Dracula, too, because Kelly Harris boobies.
Yeah, it's true. There was that nude scene. Well, and going back, it's funny because...
Rapes? You ain't nothing. You ain't shit.
Yes.
Was at La Jolla with Ashley Brown as Una.
Oh, sure.
And then when it... Aaron took over, yeah. At Broadway. So it's really interesting how that shift was
shifts,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
I have to at least get on the board.
It's exciting to hear, like, when the show comes in, like, 99, it comes in, like, 2000. Like, they're really
they
good
really
about, like,
are.
Getting
yeah.
it to
yeah.
the
yeah,
Broadway.
Really
La Jolla is legendary.
Okay, this also... Okay, this was at La Jolla in 2009. Broadway in 2011. Direction by Jeff Calhoun. Yep.
Direction by Jeff Calhoun yes. in 2011.
Yes.
He jumped the gun. You don't know what it is. Because you were thinking Newsies and it's not Newsies.
Uh-oh.
Jacqueline Hyde.
No.
Okay, keep going with the description. He's out.
ill-fated lovers whose story has been infamous.
Is it Bonnie
yes.
and Clyde?
Yeah.
Oh,
yay.
They also were at the Oslo.
They did that at the Oslo. It went to the Oslo,
yeah.
too, before. Yeah.
But
Cole and I were just talking about that recently for some reason.
But it started at La Jolla Playhouse.
I didn't know
it did.
Okay, here we go. Also in 2009 at La Jolla Playhouse. Went to Broadway in 2012. Directed by Roger Reese and Alex Timbers. Music and lyrics.
Biz! Bloody Buddy no. Andrew Jackson.
Music and lyrics by Wayne Barker. Play provides a backstory for the characters of...
Peter and Starcatcher?
Yeah. Yay!
We saw
finally,
that.
I'm on the board. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You have one. I have four.
You have four?
I have one.
Four.
You've done
okay,
really well.
I have...
But mainly... You can see over her shoulder.
Like, but it's also been like after we've bombed.
Okay, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I bide okay. my time.
Here we go. So I have like bonus.
Waiting for that
bonus. I have bonus ones.
Okay, great. Please.
Oh, I think I know what it is. I'm going to buzz before you even say
no,
it.
No, we have to wait.
So this is really interesting because it was in the Page to Stage workshop in 2005 at La Jolla Playhouse, okay. and then they did an actual production at La Jolla Playhouse in 2006, but it didn't move to Broadway until 2015.
This is Amelie.
Nope. Fuck. Oh, he's so confident.
With,
no, I was like, also, I was going to say.
2015.
That was this year.
Emily. No,
2016.
2017.
Okay.
No,
okay.
Emily
was on
directed no. by Des Makhnoff.
It's been a long year. I'm really tired.
Music by Lucy Simon.
I'm done.
Lyrics by Michael Corey and Amy Powers. Book
sorry,
by Michael
you.
Weller. And I don't really have a description because I don't really, really know what it was about, except it was this movie that my mom loved to watch.
Say it again.
Okay, so 2015, Des Makhnoff. Really, it's music by Lucy Simon, who also wrote Secret Garden.
Yes. So I'm thinking 2015 mm-hmm. was...
Can you say what
like
theater played at in New York?
Guide, Beautiful,
I can look it up.
Aladdin...
Hold on.
It is. It's based off a movie.
Well, really a book, but it's. I know it as a movie that my mom loved. Hold on.
Oh, Dr.
Yes.
Zhivago?
Oh, I'm
sure.
back, bitches.
No,
I'm back. I'm back. I got that.
I still win forever.
Wait. We still have two more bonuses.
Here we go.
Two more bonuses.
Okay, so I already said Amelie, because that was going to be one of the bonuses,
okay, guys,
so I should just get it now.
These are worth 2 points
sure,
now?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
La Jolla Playhouse, 1994. Broadway, 1995.
Broadway back then.
Okay.
Music and lyrics by Frank Lesser. Choreographed. Elliot?
The How to Succeed revival?
Yay!
Yay!
Okay.
Debatable.
This last one.
My favorite.
Full title, please.
How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, the Pulitzer Prize winning musical?
That is the new title.
Okay.
Okay, so this is the last one. Okay, here we go. I don't know when it was at La Jolla Playhouse. No,
okay.
I do. 1992.
Okay. 92.
Broadway, 1993. Directed by Des Makhnoff.
Come on, Des.
Rock musical. with music and lyrics by Pete Townshend.
Biz. Tommy?
Full title, please.
Tommy?
No. Nope.
The musical?
Nope.
I didn't buzz. What? Did I hear buzz?
We didn't know.
Did you hear buzz?
Buzz him before
you
he
both say
it answer.
Together. Ready?
The who's Tommy? Tommy?
That is not what happened.
No, wizard.
I think I won in the end.
I think I won.
I think...
You had three.
I had Dr. Zhivago. I came back.
One.
We
won.
We
won. I love that.
You were missing a team member. So
that was great. You guys, I have to admit, like, my showing on that was very poor. Way poorer than I
Because
expected.
You aren't usually a wine drinker, so you're kind of like...
I'm not. Maybe I'm thrown off.
But you were also jumping the gun.
I did jump the boom
yes.
the gun.
Yes, he got too cocky.
He got too cocky. He was like,
cocky.
I'm going to
know.
You just thought you knew.
Yeah, I knew.
Can we name another show that's coming to Broadway next year that's from La Jolla?
What? Yeah.
What is it?
Next season?
Also,
like, this season coming up.
Okay. Do you know what years those are? Because you were a little iffy about
I know the years. Like, it's 2000. I don't know.
Oh.
You know what?
Margaritaville.
Yeah, but that's not the title.
Escape to Margaritaville.
Escape to Margaritaville. Escape from Margaritaville.
No, escape to.
You escape to. You know what? Who wants to escape
you go
from?
To. You go to Margaritaville.
Oh, yeah. It is. Escape from Margaritaville is the Walking Dead spinoff musical.
This is my segment called Merch Madness.
Merch Madness!
This is the segment where I review merchandise in a versus format and choose a winner.
I love a good versus format.
So here we go. Coming up here is my Chaplin shirt. I'm going to start with the logo tee. So this is like your classic logo t-shirt with just the logo of the show.
I love it.
And this is a white t-shirt, which I'm not really usually into white t-shirts. But I really like it.
And it's black and white. You have to have it.
Black and white, which I almost wish the marketing for the show had been black and white. Caleb and I were talking about how it was like yellow and blue.
Yeah,
and it was kind of
yellow?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
But I love the shirt. It's just the Chaplin with like the music note P and L. You got a little picture of Chaplin in the C.
It's that show drop.
I love that was moving. It was so cool.
Yeah.
I love this shirt. It's like your classic logo tee. The fit is really right. The white, like, doesn't make me look so Caspery. It's like a good white, and the way the black
it
is.
On.
We don't have time.
We don't have time because I have another shirt to review. I love the shirt. I think this is a staple in my show shirts. I wear it all the time. You can see the black is kind of like fading. It's pilling a little bit. I love it.
She's old.
My second shirt is like the graphic tee from the show.
Oh.
So this is lots of oohs and ahs. It is a really amazing graphic. This is
Rob McClure.
Yeah.
This is Rob McClure. You got Christiane Knoll here holding little Charlie's hand. It has film reels and gears all coming out of Chaplin's bowler hat. So
is this
like
supposed to be Hedda Hopper?
Him.
I've always wondered that.
Probably. Yeah, that looks like her.
Audience, if you want to see what he's talking about, like, it's the cover of the album.
They're going to be on our Instagram at Equity One Podcast. If people want to, like, check it out, we will have it, like, in a
We took a vote
format.
Earlier.
We did, and I'll talk about it. It's the first time we've ever done an interactive.
It's a new thing on
an interactive moment. Yes,
so cool.
Yeah,
so
this, take a bow.
So this shirt is like a red. Do you know those like Life is Good t-shirts? Like those like
yes.
It's a very casual wash. It's like a salmon color, and it's a very casual wash.
I would buy that one.
Even the black is kind of like
the black
still
is like
salmon.
Almost a purple.
Yeah.
I like that aspect of the shirt. What comes with a relaxed fade is a relaxed fit. So the fit is like less of a like a traditional merchandise small and more of a medium, and it's a little baggy. But I really love the visual of it. I think it comes off as just a cool graphic tee.
Yeah.
And it has the small Chaplin logo on the back
behind
the neck.
Two for one.
So in the polls we have I did polls on two things. I did a poll on my personal Instagram and on our show's Instagram at Equity One Podcast on Instagram.
I have the Equity One pulled up.
On my personal Instagram, this is very interesting. The white logo tee won the vote. 37 votes to 9 votes. Or no, 37 to 17 votes.
Interesting.
Very nice.
However, on the Equity One Podcast, Instagram. The graphic tee won 11 to 9. So still close.
It's 11 to 10 now on the...
Oh, wow. Okay, interesting. Breaking news. So overall, the percentages wound up the graphic tee got 38% of the vote,
mm-hmm.
and the logo tee got 62%.
Ooh.
So that's what the audience thought, and I have to say that this week, the audience was correct. The winner of this week's Merch Madness is the classic logo tee, the white t-shirt with the Chaplin logo.
It's great.
Really clean, solid show shirt. I love wearing it because I love Chaplin so much, and I think this represents kind of how I feel about the show. It's clean, but I like it, and I like that the name of the show is in the forefront, not necessarily just a graphic.
The clear winner
is the white logo tee. So congratulations, white logo tee.
Congratulations. We do a yes meter, so.
So this shirt gets 5 out of 5 A's in yes.
Wow.
Yes. Really phenomenal work.
The little things.
And that's this week's Merch Madness.
I love it. Yay, Merch Madness.
So White T, you get a complimentary gift basket from Tannins and Tunes, including the wine that we drank and a trip back to Elliot's house.
In my backpack.
I've always wanted to.
I needed to get home. I needed to.
Oh my god!
Yeah. Okay. I'm taking it home tonight.
Oh, I'm gonna talented rip Mr. Ripley that shirt and just wear it.
So much talented. Did you just,
if the interview
is on Showtime?
Sweaty,
is it on Netflix?
No commercials.
So where can our listeners follow you all and follow your podcast and all of the things?
Sure.
Tell us all the things.
So you can follow me at Elliot Maddox, ELLIOTTMATTOX on everything.
You can follow me at CALEBDICKE, that's Caleb Dickey, on everything.
And you can follow our show at Equity One Podcast on Instagram and Facebook and at Equity1_ on Twitter, and you can also email us at equityonepodcast@gmail.com.
And I really implore our listeners and our moms and our friends and everyone and our babies to... We have so many babies listening to the podcast.
I love it.
They shouldn't be because they shouldn't be drinking wine, but we
do have an explicit on our podcast.
Right. Yeah.
Babies beware.
We just have some really cool babies listening to our podcast.
I love it. So hip.
I implore you to listen to it. If you are a fan of this, especially of our Broadway parts of our theater, like listen to them if you haven't already, because it's this, they have so much fun, but you learn so much. You learn so much about the BTS, the behind the scenes.
Thank you.
Ooh, yeah. Cool.
We try and have all kinds of different interesting people.
Diverse.
Yeah.
So
we're diverse in casting.
If you want
our
all
show.
Kinds
yeah,
of different
diverse.
Looks, then come check us out and subscribe and
review
us. We have actually decided that we are going to join you in our review challenge, and we're also going to donate $1 for each review. To
Wonderful.
The same places you guys
help
are, to hurricane
out.
Relief
help
and
out.
To help people out.
Right.
And call your senators.
Yes.
Resist.
Do all of the things and help out those who need help right now.
Yeah.
Jimmy, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at Jimmy_Robertson and on Instagram at Jimmy Robertson. I'm going to say right now, because I've talked about it, I do a podcast with my mother called Not Your Mother's Archie, where we watch Riverdale and discuss it, because my mom loves Archie comics.
Oh, my God, I love that. That's really fun.
It's a lot of fun. So we just wrapped up season one, and then next week is the emergency. We did get renewed.
Oh, congratulations. Mazel.
Scott Rudin said,
"That's so
you guys,
exciting.
Guys, I love your podcast. Drop the ice." and we'll get renewed for a second season. But season two of Riverdale is coming in, so that we're going to get into it, and we're going to be Who Shot Fred Andrews.
Oh, it's so exciting.
Spoiler. Oh, my God.
I don't even know.
So excited. Congrats. I finished it like just the other day, like with you all on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Have you been listening to us? Oh,
I know. I need a new podcast because I just finished. I caught up on all of Ross Matthews' podcasts, which is like honestly 230 episodes. Oh, so that was a lot. So I need more.
Our audio isn't as technologically advanced as this one, but like, if you're going to listen to the first episode, just know that, like, the subsequent episodes, the audio gets better on my mom's end. So
great.
Mom.
Yeah. I can't wait. We're all learning.
You figure things out. You move
Jessica,
forward, right?
Ooh, Jessica, I'm dying to know. Yeah. I'm dying to know. Where can the people find you?
Oh, well, my really fantastic Instagram can be found at jmhumphrey1, as well as Twitter. And then you can always follow us at Tannins and Tunes on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all the things.
Yeah.
And then you can email us at tannins and tunes@gmail.com. And don't forget to leave your reviews and subscribe and do all the things.
This was a very special episode as last one was, and we just wanted to get into it, but we will be going back into, not only will we be donating, but if you give a review, we will pair a wine to your username.
Pair a wine to your username. Ooh. It's going to be really,
I might
really
just do that
fun.
So
who
I get a new
wouldn't?
Right? Right?
What would you pick?
You get your $2 check?
I'm not that cheap. I'm on a budget, but.
Hashtag budget.
Hashtag Trader Joe's wine, you guys.
Delicious.
So $3
so good. Okay, so here's
it's
my.
It's the only wine that I know. That's not, I'm not that.
Get out of here.
Here's my, like, Jessica's picks. For the week.
Oh, we gotta have Jessica's wine pick.
For Trader Joe's.
Pick it.
I literally survived through grad school on this wine, and it's called Revelation. And it's at Trader Joe's, and it's literally $7.
Yes.
And it is in their French section, and it's like a Cab Merlot blend. And it's amazing. Love. It is so good, you guys. If you're in New York, go down to the 14th Street wine store. Get it. It's there. I checked last week. And if
guys,
you're not in New York
it right now, it's delicious.
We're not drinking this fantastic Pinotage, but also this Pinotage is at BTL. So come and see me at BTL on Sunday nights, and come and get some Pinotage or some other great wines. I love, like, literally, if you come into BTL and you're like, I want to pair it with this show. I'm ready. Like,
that's amazing.
I'm ready.
I'm going to do it when my mom comes into town. We're going to come get a wine paired with a show.
It's isn't it amazing to see it in person? Like,
I love it.
I keep saying it almost every single episode, but like, it's one thing to like listen to it, but it's another thing to see
it's fascinating.
In person.
I'm blown away.
We just drink. And talk. Like, we don't actually put
we're
any
like, how are we going to connect this? Doesn't matter.
We stopped after, like, episode two trying to connect it to, like, what we were talking about. We were just like, we're just drinking.
And he wasn't even drinking. It was just me drinking.
I know, because I've been sober for the month. This is actually my first episode in, like, a month that I've had alcohol. Where I've been able to have an equity one. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, listeners, thank you so much.
Used to for a time host dance competition.
Oh yeah, which ones did you host?
I hosted On Stage America.
Okay, yeah,
cool. Yes. It's fun. I've done MC work too for a dance competition.
It's really fun.
It's so much fun. Next up, we have number 374, Dance Fusion. Shake your groove.
Here we go. Here's mine. Entry number 103 is from Studio C. This is a large group lyrical in our teen division. The name of the dance is
Broken. Please welcome to the stage, Broken.
You have to repeat it like several times. Yeah. So they're like,
okay. Yeah. But yeah. That is such an exhausting job. It's like by the end of each day, you have no voice.
9 a.m. to 9 p.m. If you're lucky.
It's really, really long, long days. And as an MC, you have to be on. But like, the judges can just speak into the microphone.
But the MC, like in between, during the numbers, you can sit back and be like, oh, I don't have to watch this girl try and emote with her hands one more time.
Exactly. But there was also a time when I used to like take a tally of like however many times I heard like Katy Perry's Fireworks.
Yes. Totally. Or Work Me Down.
Yeah. The worst song that I did last season was Lost Boy, that Peter Pan song.
Yes, is a very popular one because it was on like Dance Moms or something.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, no one like looks up their music. No. They just see what's on TV. And
there was
do
a time that I have you ever done this where you introduce a song and then you introduced the same song.
Oh yeah,
next, back to back, back to back.
Yeah,
you know.
And on next we have blah blah
and
blah.
You just have to say it differently. Yeah.
But okay, so you met doing a dance.
We met. We're dance competition kids, and then